Welcome to our latest deep dive. Today, our mission is to decode this seemingly invisible piece of metal that secretly organizes and dictates the speed of the whole modern industrial world.
Yeah, we're pulling from a huge stack of engineering journals, industrial history articles, and, you know, raw technical specs to look at the TS-35 DIN rail.
Right, because when you picture a factory assembly line or, say, a massive data center, you probably imagine this chaotic, tangled web of custom-drilled brackets and just endless wiring everywhere.
Oh, for sure. People always picture a complete mess, but modern control panels are actually incredibly organized.
Yeah, they really are. Okay, let's unpack this, because if you look at the TS-35 rail, it basically serves as a universal Lego base plate for electrical engineers.
I love that analogy, a Lego base plate.
Right. I mean, before this came along, panel builders were doing really exhausting bespoke work. They had to map out and drill unique holes for every single power supply or relay.
Which is just a nightmare. And the TS-35 replaced all that mess with a modular system where components just snap right into place. The specs for that base plate are incredibly rigid, actually.
And that's why it works globally, right? Under that worldwide rulebook, IEC 60715.
Exactly. IEC 60715 dictates its exact dimensions. So a part made in Tokyo seamlessly fits a rail cut in Chicago. And you'll also hear it called a top hat or Omega rail, standardized strictly at 35 millimeters wide.
Yeah, and the TS actually stands for top hat symmetrical. The geometry is really the whole trick here.
It really is. You have this raised central channel with flanges facing outward.
Right, and that specific shape means you can take, say, a miniature circuit breaker or a PLC, which is, you know, the programmable logic controller, basically the mini computer brain running a machine, and just snap it on using spring-loaded clips.
No power drills required at all.
None. But I'm trying to wrap my head around how it actually took over the world. I mean, since it started in Germany, did this specific 35-millimeter track win just because of aggressive marketing from German manufacturers?
Well, what's fascinating here is that the triumph of the TS-35 wasn't driven by marketing at all. It was driven by a sheer, undeniable network effect.
Wait, really? A network effect?
Yeah, when you look at the historical articles we gathered, early adopters like Siemens, ABB, and Phoenix Contact, they didn't have to strong-arm the market. Panel builders realized immediately that using this rail meant they no longer had to gamble on custom layout risks.
Oh, right, because if a client wants to swap out a component at the last minute, you don't have to scrap a custom-drilled metal backplate.
Exactly. You just pop one module off the rail and snap a new one on. It saved everyone so much time that the standard just reinforced itself.
That makes total sense. Yeah. Once enclosure and component makers saw that, they all aligned behind the geometry. But, you know, once a standard is universal, it ends up in every factory, wind turbine, and ship engine room on Earth.
Yeah, and one single shape can't possibly handle the physical stress of all those drastically different environments.
Right. So here's where it gets really interesting, because choosing the rail material is a lot like picking a vehicle chassis. You know, you've got aluminum for a nimble sports car or solid unperforated steel for a heavy-duty hauler.
That's spot on. The 35-millimeter width is absolute, but the depth and the materials have to adapt. Like, the standard height is 7.5 millimeters.
But there's a deeper one, too, right?
Yeah, the 15-millimeter deep profile. That deeper track provides structural relief if you're mounting unusually heavy components.
Oh, and it gives engineers the physical clearance behind the rail to run, like, thick grounding conductors.
Exactly, and then you get into the materials. Zinc-plated mild steel is the reliable default for standard indoor panels.
Because the zinc coating offers basic rust resistance while keeping excellent electrical conductivity for grounding, right?
Right. But if you're installing a panel in a food processing plant where aggressive chemical washdowns happen daily, zinc just won't survive. You have to use stainless steel.
Oh, wow. Because the chromium in stainless steel binds with oxygen to form that self-healing oxide layer.
Exactly, which physically blocks corrosion. And then you've got anodized aluminum for lightweight needs. Plus, you have to choose between perforated rail with pre-cut slots for easy mounting or unperforated rail.
Which you'd use for maximum rigidity, right?
Yeah.
Mechanically, leaving the steel solid prevents bowing under heavy loads.
Yeah, you maintain that unbroken physical structure.
Okay, so what does this all mean? Why should you, the listener, care about the structural integrity of a 35-millimeter track?
Well, it proves that sometimes the most boring, invisible standards are the actual engines of modern technological speed and reliability.
Right. Every power grid upgrade or factory expansion happens at the pace it does because engineers don't have to reinvent the base plate.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, The TS-35 provided a mechanical baseline for global industry. It guarantees cross-compatibility, serviceability, and rapid assembly, regardless of who makes the components.
Which is incredible, but it leaves us with one really big, provocative question for you to mull over. If modern infrastructure relies entirely on the Snap-on Universal 35mm standard, what happens when aging facilities are forced to retrofit?
Oh, yeah. Those old legacy cabinets.
Right. Imagine an engineer opening a legacy cabinet from 50 years ago, only to find an outdated, incompatible system like the C-shaped TS-32 or the open-profile G-Rail. If today's Universal Lego bricks fundamentally cannot grip the obsolete rails holding an old power plant together, how do you manage that transition without shutting the whole system down?